Trinadapi sunichena, torariva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama ibakevalam, kalo nastyeva, gatir anyata. So in our previous class, we studied chapter 1 of the Bhagavad Gita. And just to do a quick review, we learned that the Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield. And it's the first day of the war. And we saw that Arjuna, his chariot driver, is his best friend, Krishna. Krishna is not going to participate actively in this war, but he's simply going to be Arjuna's chariot driver. And though Arjuna says to Krishna, "Take my chariot, I want to see who I have to fight with." And when Arjuna looks at the other side, he sees all the people that he has grown up with all throughout his life, because at this point in his life, he's well over 100 years old, well over 100, perhaps 100, 125 years old. And so, when he sees that he has to fight his cousins, his teachers, and the great grandfather Bhishma, he becomes overwhelmed with compassion and gives Krishna arguments and reasons why he does not want to fight this war. He becomes too much overwhelmed. And the last thing we heard was that Arjuna dropped his bow and said, "I shall not fight." So now we go to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, Krishna says something to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, "Arjuna, these arguments that you're giving, you sound like you are very learned. You sound as if you are intelligent." But Krishna says, "But in my opinion, a really learned person would not talk like you are talking now. It sounds good, but actually, in my opinion, no. You do not sound like someone who knows what they're doing and what is the proper thing to do, Arjuna." And then Krishna uses a very harsh word to Arjuna, klaivyam. Krishna says, "You are acting like somebody who is a eunuch." And for someone like Arjuna, that word that Krishna uses is very, very derogatory. It's not a nice word. Krishna, for Anika's sake, Krishna is calling Arjuna a sissy. Arjuna is supposed to be this big warrior, which he was. Do you know that Arjuna defeated Lord Shiva in a battle? Arjuna, he is the son of Indra, the king of heaven. Arjuna has received weapons from different demigods. Lord Shiva gave him a weapon. The fire god Agni gave him a weapon. He's very famous for all of his exploits as a fighter. But now Krishna is calling him a coward, a sissy, somebody who is not worthy of the name Kshatriya. Kshatriya means one who protects all the other people. Now Arjuna continues to argue with Krishna. And Krishna, Arjuna basically says to Krishna, I don't see how any good can come from fighting this war. But then comes the crucial turning point. Arjuna, in the midst of his lamentation, says to Krishna, Krishna, I'm confused. I don't know what I should do. I don't know if it's better for me to kill them or have the other party kill me. I'm confused. So Arjuna says to Krishna, Krishna, since I'm confused, I want you to tell me what I should do. And this is where Bhagavad Gita turns. Yes.
Don't you think this is like a provoking kind of thing, like Krishna did to Arjuna, like he provoked him to fight against his own people?
Well, you have to understand that before this day, there were so many attempts made at a peaceful settlement. But Duryodhan and his brothers were so bad, now there was the point of no return. Krishna and the Pandavas tried so many times. But here's what it was. The Pandavas said, look, all we want is 5 villages that we can rule. We're Kshatriyas. We should have our own little... Just give us 5 villages. And Duryodhan said, we're not even going to give you the amount of land that's on the head of a pin. So Duryodhan and his brothers were completely unreasonable. So there was no... Krishna's reaction is because... You know, we already went down that road. Now it's time to fight. So, yes?
So, it is okay in real life also if somebody is, like, basically there is a limit to tolerance also and being nice also.
Yes.
So, once the things go overhead, that means you need to stand up?
Yes. 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 Right. When it comes to... Yes, yes, yes. You have to be able to do what is called your prescribed duties. Nobody has any right to interfere with your prescribed duties. So when that is the definition of violence. The definition of violence is somebody is preventing you from doing your dharma or prescribed duties. And for that, you have every right to... Violence. That's violence. Somebody is not allowing you to do. Right. Prohibiting from you doing what you're supposed to do. So, Arjuna is asking Krishna, now I want you to instruct me. He even uses the word gurun. I want you to act as my teacher. And Arjuna goes further. I am your disciple. Arjuna is they are actually equals. They have been friends all their life. So they treated each other like equals. But now Arjuna wants Krishna, stop being my equal. No more friends. Now be my teacher. Tell me for certain. Tell me, what should I do now? Because this is a very critical, crucial moment. Lives are at stake. Because on this battlefield are millions of soldiers. Millions on both sides. So this is a very critical point. So Arjuna wants Krishna to decide for him what's the right thing. And as soon as Arjuna surrenders to Krishna, now Krishna will begin instructing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. This is the turning point of the whole Bhagavad Gita and the turning point of the whole war. So, once Arjuna surrenders to Krishna, Krishna begins his instructions. And in this chapter 2, the first part of Krishna's instruction is very, very important. It's the foundation. It's the fundamental building block. The first things that Krishna will tell Arjuna has to be understood first before one can go on to other topics. So the 20 verses that Krishna speaks when he begins his instructions is what is called the first lesson of transcendental knowledge. It's the ABCs of spiritual life. Just as you can't read a book unless you first learn the alphabet. So similarly, you cannot understand spiritual science unless the first lesson is understood. And that first lesson is that Krishna is telling Arjuna, Arjuna, you are not your body. You are not who you see in the reflection. You are not your mind. You are not anything material. You are spirit soul. And the spirit soul is eternal, unlike the body, which is temporary. The spirit soul is eternal. It always existed. It will always exist in the future. There is no such thing as death for the eternal soul. Eternal soul. Yes. This is the first lesson of transcendental knowledge. The first lesson. Nothing hurts you, but now you're bringing up a good question. Because you just went through a very severe operation. And up until maybe just recently, you were in a lot of pain. Yes? So, the question now, if I'm eternal soul, why do I experience pain and pleasure of the body? Very good question. If I had my bell, I would ring my bell. Very good question. And the reason is that currently we identify with the mind and body. And because we identify with the mind and body, we therefore experience the pains and pleasures of that mind and body. Yes, but as long as you are living in this body, you will experience the pains and pleasures. But that, but the mental is also.
People comment on it, they make you feel like that.
Yes, there are gross bodily pains and pleasures, and there are subtle or mental. And that will exist as long as you have a gross material existence. Therefore, the solution to all pains and pleasures is to get out of this material existence and go to the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, you don't have a material body or mind, but you exist in your pure spiritual form with spiritual mind and senses, a spiritual body that awaits us through the process of surrendering to Krishna. If we surrender to Krishna, we are eligible to go to Krishna's abode and live with him on an equal spiritual status. Let me explain to you what is the constitutional nature of spirit. There are three words: Sat, Chit, Ananda. So Sat means, we already explained, eternal. God and the soul always existed, exist now, and will forever exist. When I first understood that, eternal. Chit means full knowledge of who I am and who Krishna is. And who Krishna is. See, right now, we know our current existence as Mini, Anika, Nitin. We know this life. Ananda. Ananda means bliss. Pleasure that always increases, never decreases. Unlike in the material world. In the material world, there are highs and lows. But in the platform of eternality and knowledge of God and the soul, in the spiritual world, there is Ananda. So that is our constitutional position. And that is regained when we return back to Krishna. So Krishna is explaining in 20 verses the different characteristics of the soul distinguished from the body. The body is temporary. We all are realizing that. The body is not full of knowledge. And the body is not blissful. The body gives us so much trouble. And so does our material mind. So that's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Yes, the body, so many aches and pains, especially as we get older. It's a bad bargain. So after Krishna explains the fundamental difference between the body and the soul, then Krishna tells Arjuna, Arjuna, you should fight this war because actually for you it's win-win situation. Krishna tells Arjuna, you're fighting this war on religious principles. Therefore, if you fight and you die in the war, you're going to heaven. And in heaven, you're going to enjoy very nicely for a long time. And if you win the war, you will rule the world. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, you should fight this war because either way, you're going to come out victorious. Then Krishna says, in the next part, we're still in chapter 2. In the next part of chapter 2, Krishna explains to Arjuna that there is a kind of yoga. Yoga means a scientific process by which you link with God. And he calls this yoga buddhi yoga. Using your intelligence. And by using your intelligence, you can link with God. And then Krishna says that even a little bit of progress in buddhi yoga can save you from the greatest danger. Even if you make a little progress in this buddhi yoga. And in this buddhi yoga, Krishna says to Arjuna, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty. We were mentioning that a little earlier. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of your work. Krishna tells Arjuna that when you are complete in this buddhi yoga, then whatever anyone will say to you otherwise, you won't pay attention. Because you'll be in such a state that no matter what anybody says, you will see that this knowledge of buddhi yoga is far superior to anything anyone could possibly offer you. Then Arjuna, in chapter 2, asks a question. Arjuna says, What are the symptoms of somebody who has reached this transcendental or spiritual platform that you have been talking about? How can I know that somebody is on this platform? And then Krishna explains so many different things how you can judge how somebody is on this platform. One of the first things Krishna says is that a person on this platform doesn't pay attention to all the various desires for material enjoyment that come and go. This desire, that desire, doesn't pay any attention. A person who is in transcendence, he's like a turtle. A turtle has the ability to, if the enemy attacks, the limbs come in. Then when it's time to move, the limbs go out. So a transcendentalist, he uses all of his senses. Me and Anika were talking before you guys came about the senses. And Anika, What's the most powerful of all the senses? The mind. And I mentioned to her that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, of all the senses, my power is represented by the mind. It's the strongest. So, the person who is in transcendence is like the turtle. And Krishna warns us about the mind. He says, the mind, be very careful, because just like a boat, say a boat is docked, right? There's a rope to hold the boat, but if a strong wind comes, the boat can move. So Krishna says the mind can easily be taken away by some kind of object. So you have to be very careful how you use the mind. And then Krishna says, here is how one falls down. You see something, and by seeing something, you think about it. And when you think about it, then you say, I want that cookie. I want that third paranta. And then you go for it. But what happens? You go for it, and it doesn't satisfy you. And because it doesn't satisfy you, you become angry. And when you become angry, then you forget so many things. And then from there, gradually you go deeper, deeper down into the material whirlpool. So Krishna says, towards the end of chapter 2, that the best thing is to become free from material desires. And learn how to be satisfied in the soul. One should live a godly life. If you lead a godly life, then you can have peace. I've told the story a million times, how when I was in Panama several years ago, one lady asked me, Swamiji, I want peace. Can you give me peace? And so I asked her, do you do this? She goes, yes. I said, I can't give you peace. Do you drink alcohol? Yes, I can't give you peace. Do you gamble? She goes, yes, I can't give you peace. You have to give up sinful things, then you can have peace. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.